Chapter 9, Section 3, Judges, Kings, and Prophets. We have now come to a lesson that compresses centuries of events into just a few pages. For those of you who are allergic to history, please be assured that it's a rather painless study, and even if you don't understand all of it, you will pick up needed tidbits of background information. 40 years passed from the time the Israelites left Egypt until the time they entered Canaan. Moses died before he entered the Promised Country and was replaced by an able general named Joshua. After entering the land, it took years before the Israelites were able to fully settle it. The land was divided according to tribes, each tribe equating with, for the most part, one of Jacob's, Israel's, 12 sons. For a period of time, the Israelites followed God, but then they began to drift from the truth and ended up worshiping idols. The Lord punished Israel for pursuing false gods by allowing them to be overrun by foreign nations who forced Israel to serve them and to pay tribute. After a time, the Israelites would repent and call on God to deliver them from their oppressors. God would raise up a leader, called a judge, and the Israelites would throw out the foreign conquerors. So began a cycle that was to last approximately 300 years. The Israelites would drift from the Lord. God would send outsiders to enslave them. They would repent. God would raise up a judge, and the Israelites would be delivered. This cycle occurred over and over again. During this time, there were 15 judges. Of all the nations of the world, Israel was the most fortunate, for God Himself was their leader and king. But as time passed and the Israelites observed other nations, they rejected God and demanded a human king. God graciously granted their request, but their propensity to wander off and follow false gods remained. Israel was to have many kings, but only a few fully obeyed and followed God. Because of this, the cycle of earlier years continued. Only instead of a judge, they now had a king. Several of the kings were especially noteworthy. Probably the greatest and best known of Israel's monarchs was David. Unlike many of the other kings who ruled over Israel, King David truly followed God. He was far from sinless, but he believed God's word and was accepted by God through the blood sacrifice. King David was also a great prophet, inspired by God to write down scripture. David wrote mostly songs, praising God for his love and mercy. We find them recorded in the book of Psalms. David also wrote about the promised deliverer, and God made a pledge to David that the anointed one would be one of his descendants. King David had a great ambition to replace the portable tabernacle with a permanent structure of a similar design. It would be called the Temple. He wanted to build it in Jerusalem, which had become the capital of the country during his reign. Although David gathered the building materials, it was his son Solomon who actually saw the task accomplished. King Solomon is known for two things, his great wisdom and the temple he built. This magnificent structure was constructed in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, possibly on the same site where Abraham was prepared to offer Isaac. After Solomon's death, the nation split in two. The northern 10 tribes retained the name Israel, while the southern 2 tribes became the nation of Judah. This division seemed to be the Israelites' first step towards a semi-permanent distance from God. The northern tribes led the way. The people went through the motions of doing what the Lord said, but their hearts were far from God. God sent prophets, men who not only preached against the wandering morals of the people, but also warned of judgment to come. Many of these prophets were also prompted by God to write scripture. Some of them gave specific information about the coming promised deliverer. Generally speaking, the prophets were not well received by the Israelites or their respective kings. There was a reason. The prophets were giving them a message they did not want to hear. For example, the prophet Isaiah told the people,
"The Lord says, 'These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men.'" Isaiah 29:13.
The majority rejected the prophet's message and refused to obey God. They persecuted the prophets and killed them. To complicate matters further, false prophets inspired by Satan churn the spiritual scene. Even though God provided clear instructions to enable His people to discern the difference between truth and error, the false prophets were much more popular, for they were telling the people the very things they wished to hear. Eventually, God did send judgment. The Assyrians invaded the 10 northern tribes in 722 BC and took them into captivity. The Bible does not record an organized return of these people to the land of Israel. The two southern tribes continued as a distinct political entity until 586 BC, when the Babylonians ravished the city of Jerusalem, demolished the great temple of Solomon, and took them into exile. While in exile, the people began to be called Jews, a reference to the fact that most of them were from the tribe of Judah. With the temple no longer available as the center of worship, the Jews introduced the synagogue as a place for social interaction, teaching, and the study of the scriptures. The exile continued for 70 years, but in 536 BC, the two southern tribes began to trickle back to their homeland to settle in and around Jerusalem, in the area formerly occupied by the tribe of Judah. The temple was rebuilt, though not in the grandeur of Solomon's day, and the sacrificial system was reinstituted. Around 400 BC, the biblical record pauses and remains silent for a period of some four centuries. History didn't stand still, though. Alexander the Great, the brilliant general of the Greeks, swept through the Middle East, engulfing the Jews in the process. His emissaries introduced Greek as the trade language, and the Hellenistic culture became a status symbol for centuries to follow. Some Jews freely embraced the Greek culture, combining it with their beliefs about God. These people were called Sadducees. Though small in number, they were people of wealth and influence. They tended to control the high priest, a position that had come to be bought and sold. Unfortunately, they also denied parts of the Bible as being true. The Sadducees took away from God's word. For about 200 years, the Jews knuckled under a succession of Greek occupying forces, and then in 166 BC they revolted. Judas Maccabeus led the people into a period of autonomy. During this time, a party of Jewish religious zealots, called Pharisees, came to the forefront. The Pharisees fought the influence of the Greek culture and clung to the law given to Moses. In their zeal, they created a protective ring of other laws around Moses' law so that none of the real law would be broken. These additional laws became an authority of their own, assuming equal weight with the law of Moses. The Pharisees had added to God's word. Another significant social force in Jewish life was the scribes. The scribes were the human equivalent to photocopiers. Long before the advent of printing presses, these men copied with extreme care the Word of God over and over again. The term scribe, more of a job description than a religious or political party, implied education and religious fervor. The Jews' liberty under the Maccabean leadership lasted barely 100 years. The Iron Heel of Rome crushed the Jews' freedom in 67 BC when General Pompey entered Jerusalem. Rome was quite accommodating of the Jewish religion so long as the Jews paid their taxes and did not foment rebellion. The civilized world of the day had entered into an uneasy peace. The Roman Empire was far too large to be administered effectively from Rome, so local leaders were selected to rule the different regions. In Judea, now a province of Rome, a man named Herod was appointed as a puppet king. He would come to be known as Herod the Great. Cruel beyond belief, Herod was a follower of the Jewish religion in name only. Under Rome's authority, he and his descendants would rule the resentful Jewish world for the next 100 years. The people yearned for rescue, for one who would give them relief. More than 2,000 years had passed since God promised Abraham that one of his descendants would be the promised deliverer. Throughout the centuries, God had those people, sometimes only a few, who believed His word and were right with Him. They had waited in eager anticipation for the Anointed One to come. In these early years of the Roman Empire, those who clung tenaciously to God's promises were still waiting to see those promises fulfilled. The time had come, but they were unaware of it. The stage was now set. The angels of heaven must have hushed. Satan must have shuddered. Who would this promised deliverer be?